Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night on a Friday. Happy Good Friday out there. It is 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We're always on the 101.3 ESPN app, and you can find us streaming on your Amazon devices, like your Amazon Echo, your Alexas, whatever you got, smart speakers. That's where we are also every day, you know, at 4 for the Huddle, 6 for Champlain Valley Game Night. And here's what's going to happen for a good portion of the next 6 months. It is baseball season, and I'm happy about that. I'm very happy about that, as a matter of fact. And what it means, though, unfortunately, though, for us here on CBGN, is that it means a number of truncated shows. It means a number of shortened shows, and we kick that off tonight. 6:25, the pregame show will start, as we'll then take you to Tropicana Field, where we'll have Red Sox coverage. Sox looking to avenge their loss yesterday. So if you're wondering what happens to Champlain Valley Game Night, anytime the Red Sox play at 7 o'clock, we'll be off the air at 6:25. That is most home games. That is all home games, really, for the Red Sox, unless they're afternoon games, all weekday home games. Then that is most road games that the Red Sox will play as well, because a lot of their games in the Eastern time zone. So we'll only have full Champlain Valley Game Nights when the Sox are off out west or in the Midwest, or if there's been an afternoon game. So unfortunate for us, unfortunate for me as the host, unfortunate for you as the listener if you enjoy the show, and we appreciate those that do. And but Red Sox baseball comes your way just 20 minutes from now. Sox took a tough one yesterday. Reminders, things that are coming up. Trivia Tuesday, Burger Bar, Half Price Apps, prizes that are great, swag that is great, ton of fun, great food. Talk about meaty wings. I've had a Philly cheesesteak there. A lot of fun. Walking distance from St. Mike's, across from Fanny Allen as well. So if you are in Colchester, Tuesday night with us is where you want to spend it, at the Burger Bar. Friday, we'll be broadcasting live from Natural Provisions in Williston, another leg of our Winter Craft Beer Tour. As for what's coming up on the show today, 6:20 for the Red Sox. We'll get you those lineups at 6:15 as David Price goes to the mound. And we'll give you an interesting development that involves UVM men's basketball. But first, when we give you those lineups, David Price is going to be the starting pitcher for the Red Sox. And David Price is coming off of a frustrating year. And we have said that David Price is one of the keys to this season, and it's about more than just his on-field performance. His on-field performance has massive weight on how this Red Sox season goes. If he's injured and he goes 5-7 or 6-8 or 10-10, then this team is not going to hit its possibilities, not going to reach its heights. If he comes out and goes 17-8, if he comes out and goes 20-6, then this team can pass the Yankees. And I've picked the Yankees to win the AL East, and I make no bones about it. Last year, I picked the Red Sox to win all the way through the All-Star break, and then I flip-flopped, and the Red Sox still won. I'm telling you right now, I am all in on the Yankees winning this division, but that does not mean I don't think the Red Sox are good. I think they're very good with a lot of potential. But if David Price can rebound in a big way on the field, this team has a chance to be great. I'm banking on him being good. I'm anticipating a good year for David Price. I liked what I saw out of him last year, out of the bullpen in the playoffs. I liked what we saw out of him this spring, even through a more eased-in workload. But David Price also needs to start the reparation of the way he plays the game, and that starts tonight. Interesting story on ESPN.com today that said basically when Price played anywhere but Boston, he was a fun-loving guy. He was a great teammate. He was a prankster. He used to ride his scooter from his house to the ballpark when he played in Detroit for the Tigers. This is a guy who used to have a lot of fun. His pitching coach at Vanderbilt told him when he left for the majors, don't ever change the way you play the game. Play with that infectious little league type enthusiasm. And last year, we didn't get that from David Price. Whether it was the injury that sapped him of most of his season, whether it was the people reacting to him on social media and saying that he didn't justify his contract, it's not worth, you know, 7 years and $217 million, whether it's the sting of another playoff failure in 2016, whatever it was, David Price was not that fun-loving guy that I was told he was today prior to being in Boston. And for David Price to hit his heights on the field, his attitude needs to change also. The two are not directly correlated, but they go hand in hand. You can play better when you feel better. When you act better, when you have a better personality, when you are having more fun, you can play better. You can perform better. And David Price has that opportunity. I want to see him today, you know, smiling, joking around, not necessarily not being serious, but I want to see him playing the game with a boyish enthusiasm, because if that's what he did before, and that's what made him a Cy Young winner, and that's what made him a sought-after trade deadline piece and a sought-after free agent signing, then that's the David Price that I want. We all say last year that David Price wasn't a leader and that hurt this team. That's not true. David Price was a leader. He was just the wrong kind of leader. Okay, good vibes, they spread in the clubhouse. Well, bad vibes, they spread in the clubhouse too. And last year, in the absence of David Ortiz, the Red Sox needed a leader, and they found two toxins at various points of the year, in Dustin Pedroia and David Price. Those two guys having better attitudes can lead to better performance, and those guys having better health can lead to better attitudes and better performance, and I want to see it tonight for David Price. Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN. You can get in for the limited time that we have, 802-655-6672 on the Town Fair Tire text line. The path for UVM men's basketball to win another America East championship got a whole lot easier yesterday. This is not something that a lot of people up here know, but it is out there now locally in the Albany area that UAlbany would-be seniors, Joe Cremo and David Nichols, the best backcourt returning in the America East, they are both transferring out of UAlbany next year. So you are talking about Cremo, an 18-point-a-game scorer, and Nichols, a 15-point-a-game scorer, both leaving the program. UMBC is going to graduate Jairus Lyles and Mora, their point guard. They're still going to be, you know, Coach Odom. Obviously, you saw in the tournament, his team has some ability. He has some coaching ability, but he's going to lose some of his most impactful players. I don't know that they're going to be ready to win the league outright. UAlbany had a chance to win the league outright next year with that backcourt coupled with UVM losing Trayvell Haynes. It was up for the taking for Albany, and Albany's two best players are now leaving. And I thought to myself yesterday, why on earth would two would-be seniors who've accomplished a lot but never taken Albany to the tournament, now that they finally have a chance to go and win the America East because Vermont is not going to have Trayvell Haynes, and at least that looks optimistic from the outside if you're going against Vermont, why would they want to leave? So I made some calls on it. I talked to some people in the Albany market, and they told me both Nichols and Cremo are going to graduate early. They're both going to graduate as, you know, after their junior year. What that means is that they are not going to have to sit out next year. That was another issue. I said, these guys are about to be seniors and they're going to leave school with all this in front of them about getting to the tournament and winning this league for the first time in their careers. And they're going to have to sit out. Why? Well, graduating early allows them to transfer next year as graduate transfers and play right away. And I've gone back and forth on this, but at the end of the day, you have to be okay. This is good for the University of Vermont. This is bad for the University of Albany. And this is bad for the America East. The America East wants better players. The America East, which is coming off the heels of seeing UMBC pull off the greatest upset in NCAA tournament history, they would like to capitalize on that and have two, three, four good teams every year. And next year, they're going to have a team in Albany that's not going to be very competitive, at least right now. And it's certainly not going to be as competitive as it was. But you have to be okay with this. This is more conjecture and speculation on my part here, but David Nichols isn't from Albany. He's from Chicago. He lost his sister last year right before the America East Championship. I don't know where he's going to end up. Maybe he wants to just play closer to home. I can't hold that against a guy. UVM will benefit from those guys not being there at Albany. The league will suffer, but at the end of the day, the kid has to do what's best for him in this situation. He's worked hard for 3 years academically to graduate early and give himself a chance to go do what he wants with this fourth year. Maybe what he wants is to shoot for the stars and go play at a high major program. Maybe he'll have that opportunity. Maybe he won't. Maybe he wants to go close to home and be near his family. You can't fault a guy for that. On the other side, Cremo was a guy that I wouldn't say I know well, but I've known of him and followed him for a very long time because he's the same age as my brother, or 1 year younger than my brother, and they played against each other, and they were friends. and I worked in the marketplace, so I've had Joe Cremo on my show a bunch. We had him on here last year. This is a guy who he never even took an official visit to Albany. He just recruited blindly. They were the only place to really go after him. He gave back to them by committing early and being nothing but a good member of the program and being a great player and being an all-conference player. He's never left his hometown. He deserves the chance, if he wants to, in this fourth year that he's worked hard academically for, to go out and try to play at a high major place. And I think I've heard that those options are out there, that he could go to a high major school and be a contributor. I don't know that he's going to Duke, but could he go to Rutgers? Sure. Could he go to a team in the American Athletic Conference? Maybe. Could he play in the Atlantic 10? Probably, definitely. I've heard about St. Bonaventure's being a possible opportunity for Joe Cremo. So the kids have every right to do this. They've worked as hard as they can. I think where I get disappointed is that the league is not going to be as competitive as it was. And we want the league to be good, right? We want Vermont to win this league, win the America East Conference, and we want them to beat high quality of opponents in the America East Conference, because at the end of the day, that helps you. That helps you come tournament time. Conference RPI is better. Their strength of schedule is therefore better. Therefore, seeding is better. So it's a double-edged sword. You can be happy that Vermont's path to a title got easier, but Vermont's path to a 12 seed got a lot tougher because the league is not going to be as good. So that was some news that broke last night around 7, 8 o'clock or so. And not a lot of people up here privy to it because you're not following Albany. But if you follow UVM, and I know you're out there because we talked to you all year long, you should be looking at this happily, but also with a little bit of, really, now Albany's not going to be as good, which means that our chances of having the league look better and having the league improve are not as good. All right, Red Sox baseball is coming up here in 10 minutes. We'll get you out to Tampa Bay, but first, let's get you those lineups.
It's almost that time. Baseball is in the air, and the Red Sox are about to take the field. So let's give you the lineups and the pitching matchup right now on your home for Red Sox baseball, 101.3 ESPN.
Red Sox and Rays coming up from Tropicana Field. Your pregame show continues on here with a pregame into the pregame show. Starting lineups for the Sox. David Price is on the mound, ready to rebound from last season. He has pitched more at Tropicana Field than any other venue in his career. Remember all those years with the Rays? 36-30 with a career 2.88 ERA. Made just 11 starts a season ago. He looks to rebound under first-year manager Alex Cora. And Alex Cora's second lineup in his Red Sox tenure. Mookie Betts leads off after going 1-for-4 yesterday. He's in right field. Andrew Benintendi is in left. Hanley Ramirez hits third again and plays first base. J.D. Martinez, he is the DH. He hits fourth. He went 0-for yesterday as well. Sox looking for him to be the major free agent investment that they gave, you know, that they pegged him to be. Five-year deal, more than $100 million. They're looking for him to be a guy who hits 40 home runs this year. Xander Bogaerts sees him the 5 spot at shortstop, 3-for-4 yesterday. Good start for him. Rafael Devers went 1-for-4 yesterday. He hit 6th and played 3rd. Eduardo Nunez, he had a couple of hits yesterday, including an inside-the-park home run. He's got 2 ribbies. He plays 2nd and hits 7th. Jackie Bradley Jr. hits 8th and is in center. And Christian Vasquez, the catcher, he went 1-for-3 yesterday. He is in the 9th spot. For the Rays, they send on the mound the big lefty Blake Snell. He finished off the 2017 season on a roll. He went 5-1 with a 2.84 in his final 10 starts. He averages 94.2 miles per hour on that fastball, ranked 5th among 75 left-handed starters. He had an excellent spring as well. The lineup behind him, Matt Duffy, he leads off and plays 3rd. He had an RBI yesterday, also had a hit. The Gold Glover, Kevin Kiermaier, he is in center field. Carlos Gomez, the former star, he is in right field. He hits 3rd. C.J. Cron, who the team acquired from the Los Angeles Angels, he hits cleanup and is the DH. Wilson Ramos, he hits 5th and is the catcher. Brad Miller, he's at first base. The former Seattle Mariner, now turned massive home run hitter, Brad Miller again hitting sixth. The Danny Hecheverria, the Cuban shortstop, he plays shortstop and hits seventh. Daniel Robertson, he hits eighth. And Rob Refsnyder, newly acquired from the Cleveland Indians and former New York Yankees prospect, he does the duties in left field and hits ninth. That's your Red Sox and Rays starting lineup. We'll get you out to Tropicana Field 60 seconds from now. Coming up on Monday, we'll have Monday Mirages. We'll get you ready for the National Championship game. Final Four from San Antonio is this weekend. Remember, if you care about college basketball, tonight, the three-on-three tournament, Trayvell Haynes, Peyton Henson playing in, they will play 7:15 and 9:15. Those are two games tonight, and then they'll have some more games on Saturday and Sunday if they keep advancing. So looking forward to seeing what those guys can do. A lot of fun following their careers here in Burlington, and we'll get a chance to watch them tonight as they get a chance to play for some money. They get $1,000 per team per win. So a couple of wins tonight gets those guys their first money here in basketball. So we're rooting for them. Red Sox and Rays, David Price and Blake Snell. Tropicana Field, game two of the season is coming up next right here on your home for the Red Sox in 2018. 101.3 ESPN.